Hello and welcome to the program. A few weeks ago, we were pointing out how unheard of it is for France to have four prime ministers in barely a year. Little did we know that the latest one would last less than a month. Well, this whole political mess, of course, has implications for the French economy and for the country's standing in Europe. And few people are better placed to evaluate those things than my guest. Thierry Breton was the EU's influential commissioner for the internal market and industrial policy during the first von der Leyen commission. He was also France's Minister for the Economy, Finance and Industry from 2005 to 2007. In addition, he's had a distinguished career in business. Welcome to the program, Mr. Breton.
Thank you very much.
When you were minister 20 years ago, you were already warning the French public that their taxes could end up simply servicing the French debt. And it seems that to this day, people don't really want to hear that out there in the country.
Well, I did it for two reasons. The first one is that, of course, at that time when I joined the Ministry of Finance, the debt versus GDP was 67%. And we had signed a commitment. We signed a commitment, like all the members of the Eurogroup, that we should go below 60% of debt versus GDP, and of course, to target zero deficit, not minus three, zero deficit. We allowed exceptionally to go up to 3%, but the target was zero. And this is why I said to my team, look, this is what we have to do. And we reduce, you're right, we reduce the debt versus GDP, moving from 67 down to 63. At that time, Germany was at 67. We had the same crisis from both sides of the Rhine River. We had the same subprime issues, debt problems, COVID impact. And now we are at 116% debt versus GDP. Germany is at 62. So it means that probably something is wrong with us. And we need to be very candid and to say this to our public opinion, to say that probably The way we handle here in France our social benefits, when I'm speaking about social benefits, it is inherited from what we had to do to rebuild the country after the World War II. And we did it, and it was extremely important. But today we cannot afford to pay it this way. So we need to keep the objective, but to discuss together how to reduce our spending.
You mentioned Germany. I wonder how you think the Germans are looking at this whole crisis in France. We know that Germany recently considered no longer pursuing the SCAF fighter jet joint program with France. Do you think that's a sign that Germany is losing confidence in the French political economic system?
No, I don't think we need to mix everything, and especially in defense. So we'll see. SCAF is not over for me. We need probably to discuss. I think it's a very good project. But that's another issue. We could discuss defense. That's a totally different issue. Yeah. But the matter is that when you are a founding member of the Union, like France, I mean, you need to behave by example. Yeah. And it's true that since 20 years, we don't keep our commitment. And this is why I think that it is extremely important to go back to what we have to do. Of course, it is painful, but it's not impossible. We have seen what happened in Spain. We have seen what happened in Portugal, of course, in Greece. We know that today it is extremely difficult to explain this to our fellow citizens. But I hope that now with a new prime minister, for the next 18 months, we will use this time. And it's possible to demonstrate to the rest of our partner that we will go back on track.
I mean, you've said France is the last student in the European class. So does that mean France doesn't have credibility anymore now to talk in the Eurogroup and the ECOFIN?
Well, you know, France, is, I mean, we are the second largest economy of the EU. We are the seventh largest economy on this planet. We are the only country, and I think it's important not only to have a seat at the UN, at the Security Council, permanent one, but also to be the only country in Europe to be able to handle everything which is necessary for our defense, of course, at our level. But remember that we are nuclear submarines, nuclear aircraft carriers. We are the only one being able to carry deterrence with our nuclear weapon, which is extremely important these days. We know that mistrust after the elections of Donald Trump now is a key word everywhere in Europe, and that every country in Europe realize that we need now to work much more closely, including in defense. And of course, France will have to play a key role because of what we have done. So France is a big country, but you need to keep your commitment and your right for the euro. And it's true that at the Eurogroup, at the ECOFIN, when you don't stick your commitment, it makes you a little bit more weak to speak to others. That's the reality.
You mentioned President Trump. I wanted to ask about the whole transatlantic relationship now, because, of course, the US president is now asking for American companies to be exempted from certain European rules on things like duty of care, carbon border taxes, etc. This is not the stability in transatlantic relations that we were promised, the way that President von der Leyen sold to Europeans that accord that was signed in July.
Well, first, there's two things. I think it's extremely important now to go back to stability. And we need stability, of course, in business. And I think it's absolutely paramount. The United States have been our allies for decades, and they will continue to be. It's extremely important that they understand that our project is a project based on democratic values. And what we have done for our regulations with biodiversity and also the way we take care of people is important. It's important also the way we behave now in the digital world.
So no exemptions for Trump, basically.
That has been voted by our democracy. It's not against anybody. It's just for our people. And again, we are an open market. Everyone is welcome to benefit from our market. But we have some rules, and these rules apply for everyone, including ourselves, if you want to benefit from the internal market, being in product or in services.
But there are these differences in the EU, of course, on how to deal with Trump. You've got people saying, yes, maybe the EU can buy natural gas to stave off even higher tariffs. I mean, when you look at all the divisions, the EU doesn't look very strategically autonomous in the face of Trump, does it?
Well, first, again, in order to be able to be stronger, we have decided that, for example, for trade, we gave all of us, the 27 member states, the power to the commissions to deal in our name, because, of course, we are stronger together than one by one. So I think it means that the commission has to use this power to make sure that in the balance of power, in the discussions the commission has with other continents, being China, being the United States, a good use of this power is made. And again, what is a good use is the fact that we finally end with a balance relation. I say a balance. Again, we are not against anybody in Europe. Our project is a peace project, but we cannot be naive anymore.
I want to ask you a little bit about the whole European defence situation. There was this failure by MEPs to agree on EDIP, the European Defence Industry Programme, in the last Strasbourg plenary. What are the main obstacles to a more integrated European defence that you see right now?
Well, I'm the one who put in place this EDIP programme with my team, of course, when I was in charge of the defence industry as a commissioner. So I know this programme extremely well. Again, it is based on defence industry. What is extremely important is that, of course, the defence stays at the level of member states. This is their sovereignty. And it will stay this way. And it's important. And the Commission needs to understand that they cannot go on this ground because the member states will never allow the Commission to do it. On the other hand, the Commission has a very important power in industry. And here, of course, to help. And this is what is EDIP about. So we need more pedagogy. What I believe is that we need, and by the way, I was not the only one, because Mario Draghi or Enrico Letta, in their reports, extremely good reports, they mentioned that it was important to have probably a joint a capacity to issue debt at the EU level to accelerate and to enhance our industrial base in defense. That's extremely important. This is the way we did, by the way. You remember we had a big discussion for shells and caliber 155 ammunitions that we wanted to deliver to Ukraine. And I have been tasked when I was a commissioner to start. At that time, we were manufacturing 500,000 per year. Today, because we put in place a program, we are more than 2 million per year. So we are in our way to achieve what Russia is doing. We did this in less than 2 years. So it's possible. Mm. It demonstrates that it's possible to work together to enhance drastically our defense industry.
Just a quick final point. There's a lot of discussion about the Commission's proposal for a so-called drone wall. Some EU member states seem to not even like the term drone wall. Was this maybe a faux pas, calling it that?
It reminds us in France of Lean Maginot, and we should demonstrate that...
People can go around the back of the Lean
Maginot.
Especially for drones.
you can do it with a car, we can do it with an individual. So, I mean, it doesn't work this way. So I think it has been, by the way, said very vocally by the President Macron, by Chancellor Merz, or by Prime Minister Meloni, and because I know very well what it is about. But it means that, of course, we need together to work on how to defend our airspace. Yes. And that's already put in the strategic boussole.
The strategic compass
that have been put in place in 2023 by Josep Borrell and the 27 member states. Now, it should be the compass. And as we say in French, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. On va pas réinventer la roue. Yeah. It's done. It's extremely clear how to defend and to have a strategic investment to defend our airspace, but also space alone and also cyberspace and also maritime. And these are 4 spaces which are called contested spaces where we need to work together.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being our guest on Talking Europe, Thierry Breton, former EU Commissioner for the Internal Market and Industrial Policy. And in part 2, we'll be talking a lot more about that whole drone issue and hybrid war. So do stay with us.